Paul to Titus. By God's grace, we have finished 2 Timothy. Then we came to Titus, which is also one of the pastoral epistles. Actually, it is very connected to us, right? When we read as ministers of God, it applies directly to us, right? So it will help us to become the fruitful ministers and faithful ministers. One of the things what God has done after He creating men and women, like for example Adam and Eve, then He has given work. We need to do the work, whether it is secular work, whether it is gospel work, anyone has to do work. Every work is very important, right? Which is come from God. I know that. I know one food commissioner. He was visiting all those hostels and schools, and suddenly he visits. Then he asks children how this principal is treating, how he is providing food. Then he goes into the kitchen and check all those expiry dates of dal and everything. If anybody is doing well, if anybody is doing ministry or service well, then he appreciate. Then he will give us 1,000 rupees or 2,000 rupees. Then he encourage them. If anybody is not doing, he will warn them. Then he will say, see, you are not doing well. You are not fulfilling your service which you got from the government. He was taking very serious. He is warning. He is suspended some of them, because they are not fulfilling their job properly. But it is true even in churches, brothers. Even pastors who are called to do ministry, who are called to do the ministry responsibilities, they have to do things, but they are not fulfilling those responsibilities. But some of pastors are fulfilling responsibility. One of the examples is Titus. Titus, who has heart to serve the church, to do the will of God, to do the ministry. This helps us to follow Christ, to serve the church. We must have one goal, brothers. End of our life, when we meet our Lord Jesus, He must say to us, a good and faithful servant. So that should be our aim. That should be our goal. For that, we need to work hard, because He is our master. We are His slaves. So whatever He has given the work to us, we need to do that work faithfully. Faithfully. Even God gives more responsibility if you are faithful in small works, small ministry. That thing is happening in Titus verse 4 to 5. Here Paul is giving the responsibility of ministry to Titus, especially verse 5. Today passage, chapter 1 of Titus, verse 4 and 5. It reads like this. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. If you think about verse 4 and 5, the main thing which struck me to think more about was 5. This reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. So here Paul is giving the ministry responsibility of Titus, what he has to do. That is the main purpose why he left Titus in Crete. He is writing this full letter of Titus so that he can do that job, that ministry responsibility. So, theme of this passage, which I have given, fulfilling ministry responsibilities. fulfilling ministry responsibilities. It says verse 5, 4 and 5. To Titus, verse 5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Paul says that Paul left Titus in Crete to do the important work in the churches in Crete. He has to set order what remains and appoint elder in every church, every city. Titus has to fulfill that responsibility of a minister of God. Paul was reminding Titus to fulfill the ministry responsibility. Ultimately, brothers, it comes from God through Paul, an apostle, right? In this case, every ministry responsibility is coming from God. Even though God is using the men, ministers, to give that responsibility. Brothers, we have different responsibilities that we must fulfill. The responsibility of ministry of Titus is different from ours. But each one has different kind of ministry responsibility that we must do it. We must follow it. This passage will teach us who will fulfill the ministry of responsibilities. The marks of one who fulfills the ministry of God, ministry of Christ. So in this passage, I want to prove that, I want to say that three marks of one who fulfills ministry responsibility. No one will fulfill God's ministry. He must have some mark, he must have some qualifications that Titus has already. The first mark of one who fulfills ministry responsibility is, he is the proven disciple of Christ. He is the proven disciple of Christ. Look at verse 4. To Titus, my true child in common faith. Look at that phrase, my true child in common faith. This refers to what kind of faith he has, who shared the gospel with him. Paul, witnessing that he was a Christian, he believed in Christ through his ministry. That is why Paul said, my true child in common faith. This is an important qualification to fulfill ministry responsibility. One must prove himself as a genuine, as a true child of God, true disciple of Christ. That should be very clear. That is very important. Here we have two facts about him that prove he is proven disciple of Christ. The first fact about him that proves he is the proven disciple of Christ is, he is a genuine child of his spiritual father. He is genuine child of his spiritual father. So no one will say that I am disciple of Christ, but I am not being trained by anyone else. See, that is lie. The true disciple of Christ always is being trained by another faithful man. That's what even Paul is recognizing. Paul is saying witness that he is genuine child. He is true disciple of Christ. Titus was the person, we know that, who received the letter from Paul, right? It says, to Titus. That is why this epistle also is part of pastoral epistles, because he was a responsible person who fulfills the ministry that he was given to him by God through an apostle. We know that, we have seen that Paul said that Titus has his true child. Titus was spiritual child of Paul. He was describing his relationship with Titus. If you look at the meaning of the word true in Greek, is genuine. Or it can be like sincere. The idea is the one who is considered a valued member of family. Legitimate. The idea comes. So here Paul is saying that Titus is genuine child. That Titus is valued member of family. He's very valued person. He is sincere. Then he said that a child, right? The child refers to one who is dear to another, But without genetic relationship, without distinction in age, it is not talking about biological. He is not biological son to Paul, but he is talking spiritually. He is dear to Paul without genetic relationship. So this refers to spiritual child in relation to master or apostle or teacher. The Paul was saying that Titus is the one who is considered as valid, a genuine child. He was the one who is dear to Paul without a genetic relationship. Paul says same thing about Timothy, right? He called Timothy as his child in faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. To Timothy, my true child in faith. The Timothy and Titus as genuine sons of Paul because they believed in Christ through his ministry. The third fact about him that proves he is disciple, second fact about him that proves he is proven disciple of Christ is he has a common faith with his spiritual father. He has a common faith with his spiritual father. Look at verse 4. It says, to Titus, my true child, in a common faith. The Titus was genuine child, the idea is in standard of the common faith, in accordance with the common faith. The meaning of the word common is to be mutual interest, shared collectively. This is common for anybody else. Anybody who believed in Jesus, he must have common faith of others, other Christians. But what Paul is saying, he has in common faith, we together shared the common faith. Whatever he believes, I believe. Whatever I believe, he believes. In that case, he is my genuine, sincere, valid son. That's what Paul is saying. He was proved as a disciple of Christ before he do the more important work, doing ministry, appointing elders, or doing things. But he must prove himself. Titus became genuine child of all brothers in the standard of common faith. They both have same faith. They both have same doctrine about Christ. He did not have different faith than Paul. They both have same thing. This proves that Titus is genuine or valued child of God, spiritual child. But one thing we should accept, that Paul calls Timothy like this after Titus. And he calls, we know that many were saved through his ministry, but he did not call them in this way. But he called even Onesimus also his child. Whomever he calls, beloved child, or the true, or genuine child, they not only became disciples of Christ, they are so useful, they are so faithful in kingdom of God. Those men he called individually as his child. Even though many were saving through his ministry, those who are faithful in ministry, those who follow him, with him, to follow Christ, he will call them my true child. Even he says about Onesimus, my heart. I am sending my heart, very heart. Why he was saying? Because they are working for Christ's kingdom. They are so faithful, useful. Titus is one among them. One among them. He uses them in ministry because they are proven disciples of Christ. Titus also comes under this category. We know that Paul used him many times because he is proven disciple of Christ. He was trained in righteousness for ministry by Paul. He was not new convert, which is the qualification of elders also, right? He must prove himself a genuine disciple of Christ. He was learning all practical ministry and theology from Paul before he did actual ministry in Corinth, in Crete. He was being trained by Paul. I know that when I was called to be here in CCC to do internship, the first thing, immediately I said, I will come. Because I know that because I am not able to do ministry by myself. Even though I studied in PTS, I know Greek, I know Hebrew, I know some subject, theology, but this is not enough for me. I need some more guidance. I need to learn practical things under one godly man. Then I immediately decided, then go to, whether it is 1 year or 6 months, I should go there. I should be trained under a godly man who knows the word of God more than me. That is the main goal, to come here. We must have those kind of attitude. Even Titus, he has that. He was trained under a godly man like Paul. Brothers, you must be discipled by someone more mature than you in the word of God. You must give freedom to correct you and train you before he gives you more important duties in the church. If you are working with other elders in future, even though you are working as a pastor individually, initially, but you must have contact with a person who knows the word of God well. You need to ask some practical issues. You must be responsible to that person. You must be trained by someone who is mature than you. It will help you to fulfill the ministry which God will give you in future. Let me ask you, who is your father, spiritual father? Who is correcting you, encouraging you, and training you for ministry? Can you say any name? If you are not saying any name, maybe you are in danger. Maybe you won't be useful for future kingdom of God. Choose yourself one godly man, one who can train you for ministry under Jesus Christ. But this is very important, brothers. You must prove yourself as a disciple of Christ to fulfill a ministry responsibilities. The second mark of one who fulfills ministry responsibilities is he is being strengthened by the Godhead. He is being strengthened by the Godhead. Look at verse 4, part B. It says, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. What Paul wishes to Titus is grace and peace to come to him from the Godhead. We know that even that is connected to salvation of Titus, salvation of anybody else, but the grace of God and peace of God will strengthen him in his ministry. Especially he was fulfilling ministry in Crete. The grace and peace we must have to fulfill God's ministry. Here we have two spiritual benefits that strengthen him to fulfill his responsibility. The first spiritual benefit that strengthens him to fulfill his ministry responsibility is spiritual blessings from the Godhead. Spiritual blessings from the Godhead. Look at verse 4. It says, right, grace and peace from God the Father. The grace and peace, those are spiritual blessings from Godhead. Paul is saying that grace and peace come from God, come from Christ. God is the source of grace and peace, and Christ is the source of peace and grace. Grace and peace are not coming from God alone, it is coming from Christ also. That is the idea. That's what he says. The grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. Even it shows, right, who Christ is. He is equal to God the Father. If God the Father is source of grace and peace, what Paul is saying, what the Word of God is saying is, Jesus Christ is the source and peace. He is giving. God the Father is giving. So this is spiritual blessings from Godhead. We have seen, right, two spiritual blessings from Godhead. The first spiritual blessing from Godhead is grace, which means the favor of God, the unmerited favor of God. Then the second spiritual blessing from Godhead is peace, which is talking about reconciliation with God with people of God. We know that by grace God saved Titus, and Titus needs grace of God and Christ to do ministry in Crete, because he was ministering among ungodly people. We know that by grace we were saved. But Titus needs, in this context, to do God's ministry, he needs more grace and peace, because he is working among ungodly people. Look at Titus 1:10. It says, we know that, "For there were many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision." Verse 12, "One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.'" He is working. He has to work among them. If he was working among them, he must need more grace. That's why he is wishing that. Paul is wishing to Titus grace and peace from God, from Christ, to deal with this kind of people. Need more grace and peace from God, from Christ. This is not an easy thing to minister, brothers. But the one thing we can do, we need to praise God and Christ, for they blessed you with grace and peace to save you. But you need His grace, His peace to do His ministry also. But ministry is not an easy job. It is not just preparing sermon, standing before people and killing audience with your speech, with your preaching. That is also important. But there are many things beside that. Counseling and training people in righteousness. You will come to know the sins of one of your church member people. You will be hurted. You need to train them. There are many things. Then people will gossip one another. You need to solve that problem. People come together and fight against each other. You need to go and stop that fighting also. So everything will come under you, because you are pastor. You have that responsibility. There are many things to do that. But we think, no, when we are studying in PTS, only doing syntax, doing lexical study, doing those things is enough. I know introduction, I know conclusion. No, that is also important. After that, you need to do other practical things, especially dealing with ungodly people in the churches, dealing with ungodly people in the world. So for that, you need God's grace. For that, you need God's grace. The second spiritual benefit that strengthened him to fulfill his ministry responsibility is a spiritual relationship with the Godhead. A spiritual relationship with the Godhead. Look at verse 4, part B. Grace and peace from God. Then he was describing who God the Father is, who Christ is. The Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. So it is talking about the spiritual relationship of Titus with Godhead. The relationship is, it is talking about God is his father, fatherly relationship. Titus is child, God is father. God is his father. Paul described who God is. Not only he is father of Titus, he is father of Paul. God is father of every one of us. He is parent. The meaning of this word father is, in this context, the supreme deity who is responsible for the origin and care of all that exist. The father is the one who cares his children. The father is the one who looks after his people. Even though he is supreme God, even though he is God, but he cares like father. So what Paul is saying, that God is Father who is responsible for the care of Titus and all ministers of gospel, of all the church planters. Paul is encouraging Titus, see, God is Father, he will give grace. Because he is Father, he will give grace to you, he will give peace to you when you are doing ministry, when you are fulfilling the ministry responsibilities. Brothers, do you feel God as your Father? Great strength will come, right, when you are doing ministry, when you are ministering, when you have great responsibility in front of you, when you need grace, when you feel God as your Father in Christ, it will give you more strength. to do even difficult tasks in ministry. God is with you as your heavenly Father in your ministry. And not only he was involved in saving work, he will give more grace to you. Brothers, God gives his favor which you don't deserve, because you are his child. You are serving his children. He provides grace to you when you are doing ministry. I know that when my children need anything, like when they were sick, I will give them medicine. I will ask doctors what medicine I should give to them. Then if they need food or things, I go and buy those things and give to them. So as a father, earthly father, I provide what my children need, right? If as a earthly father, I am providing that, heavenly Father who knows what you need. You need his blessing. That blessing is grace of God, his grace. The second relationship he talks about is Christ is his Savior. Look at verse 4. Christ Jesus, our Savior. Even God the Father is Savior in verse 3. If you read it, Christ is Savior in this verse. Christ is the source of grace and peace. That's what he is saying. But he is Savior of Paul and Titus, because he said, our Savior, our Savior. The meaning of the verb in Greek, the save, the Savior, is one who rescues, one who delivers, one who preserves. Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, right, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, a Savior. Even his name is Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, for he will save his people from their sins, from their sins. So Savior is the source of grace, the source of peace he will give you. Even he says, Titus chapter 2 verse 13, looking for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus. Jesus is Savior. Your Savior. Here Paul is saying that your Savior will give you grace and peace when you are doing ministry. When you are doing ministry. But Paul says that our Savior, right? It is talking about possessions. Christ Jesus, the Savior, belongs to them. Jesus is belong to us. He is our Savior. He is our Savior. When Christ died on the cross to save sinners like Paul and Titus, like you and me, that time God, Christ, showed grace and peace to them, to all his children who are enemies to him. Not only for salvation, still Titus needs grace and peace for sanctification to do ministry also. It was foolishness, right, to go to the mobile shop to buy chicken, to buy beef. To buy chicken, to buy beef, you go to chicken shop, beef shop. You won't go to mobile shop, right? So it is foolishness to seek grace and peace from other sources. Not running to Christ, not running to God is foolishness. Because we know that the text is saying very clearly, the Godhead is the source of the peace and grace. You can't go to anybody else, brothers and sisters, to get grace and peace. But you must run to Christ, God, who are the source of peace and grace. But one thing is true, God and Christ give them voluntarily, willingly, because they belong to us. We belong to them. The third mark of one who fulfills ministry responsibility is he is a faithful man in God's work. He is faithful man in God's work. Look at verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. If you see, the serving among rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, those who are liars. We heard last time that the Roman court do not accept their testimony, their witness, because they won't believe these people. So if someone has to work among these people, that person should be a faithful, that person should be so trustworthy. Because why I'm saying, because Paul left him in Crete to fulfill the remaining responsibility in ministry. Titus was sent to do the ministry of God, even different places before he was sent to Crete. You know that he was mentioned 9 times in 2 Corinthians by his name. One time Paul was waiting for Titus' report about Corinthians. Paul did not have rest because Titus did not come from Corinth with the report. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 6, it says, "But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing and your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." See, Paul was using him. Paul was sending him to do God's work. Brothers, Titus was the one whom Paul sent to difficult people, to solve the spiritual problems in the churches. He was going to Corinth. Paul sent him to Corinth again for the collection of which Paul was organizing among Greek churches, those churches, for the benefit of poor churches in Judea. He was trustworthy in financial matter. If you think, Paul said to him to appoint elders, the one of the qualifications is he must not be greedy of money, right? So he was trustworthy, he was faithful, he was proven already. That is the reason why Paul sent him in Crete to do the responsible ministry, the main ministry. We know another example of his faithfulness is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16 to 7. "But thanks to be God, who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord." He is the one who was willing to serve the churches as Paul serves the church. He has same earnestness God has put in his heart. He was willing to go wherever Paul told him to go. He was willing to do the things, whatever Paul was telling to do the things. Paul calls him his partner and fellow worker among Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 23. Says, "As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you." These things are the example of his faithfulness in ministry. The background reason why Paul left Titus in Crete. Because he was proven person. He was proven faithful person. Here we have two responsibilities that the faithful man must fulfill. Or we can say two reasons why Paul left Titus in Crete. The first responsibility that the faithful man must fulfill is set right what is lacking in the church. Set right what is lacking in the church. Look at verse 5, it says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains." The Paul says that the purpose why he left Titus, to set in order what remains. To set in order what? What remains. The meaning of the word is to be deficient in something that ought to be present for whatever reason. It means what is lacking. What was left incomplete. The Titus ministry responsibility is to set in order for what lacks, what remains. What was left in incomplete in Crete. The meaning of the verb set in order is to set right or correct in addition to what has already been corrected. So which means Paul already set the right order in the churches. So Titus has to set right order in addition to what has already been corrected by Paul. He has done some work, but remaining correction Titus has to do. And also it says present tense. It shows that things to set in order is a continual problem. The idea is not having order in the church in Crete. They need more corrections. They need more corrections. Paul did not set the order in the church in Crete completely. So he has to complete remaining correction in churches. You know that Paul left for ministry purpose, but he gave his place to Titus because he is faithful. He is faithful man. He can do it by God's grace. By God's grace, he can do it. Paul gave a very serious work that set in order what was lacking continually among ungodly people. One of the primary things that Titus has to set in order in churches is appointing elders in every city. This was not the only thing that Titus has to set in order, but there are other things also to set in order. Because look at verse 5, it says that you would set in order what remains. What remains, what lacks is not singular in Greek, but plural, which means there were other things that Titus had to set in order besides appointing elders, which is one of the primary responsibility of Titus. The primary responsibility of Titus is appointing elders, but there are other things which is remaining. We know that, we can see in the text. First one, appointing qualified elders in every time. Then refute the false teachers who are contradicting sound doctrine. That is also his job. Teaching the church members to behave according to sound teaching, sound doctrine. That is also his job. Then teaching God's people their responsibility in the world. How they behave, how they practice their godliness in the world. That is talking about chapter 3. He has to do remaining things also. For that, he was left in Crete. Even for us, right, we, as I said before, preaching is not only thing to do. We have to do other things. We need to counsel. We need to visit people. We need to do many other things. It will come alongside preaching. We need to do those all works. The second responsibility that the faithful man must fulfill is appointing elders in the church. Look at verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Paul says that second purpose why he left Titus, that is to appoint elders in every city. This is the one of the remaining things that Titus has to set in order. If this happens in Crete, all those remaining things will come in the right order. The godliness in the church and godliness in the world will come if godliness is in the leadership of the church. So as we go through the outlines, it's like the elder should have godliness. That is you and me. So that is the job of Titus. Appointing elders, godly elders. But here we have two precautions that he must take in this process. The first precautions that he must take in this process is appointing a plurality of elders. Paul did not say appoint elder. He said appoint elders in each city. So the first precaution that he must take in this process, appointing a plurality of elders. The meaning of the verb appoint is to assign someone a position of authority, put in charge. So Titus has to assign elders a position of authority, put in charge of the church under Christ. That is the idea. The idea is the elders are in charge of the church, who has position of authority in the church under Christ, not deacons, not lay people. Some churches were dominated by deacons, right? Those things are not biblical things. The true elders, the biblical elders, godly elders, must rule the church. must, they have authority under Christ to rule the church. Okay, let me ask, who is elder? There is confusion, right? Some people say old people only be can be a elders, not young people. Actually, the general meaning of this word is the elder who advanced in his life, in life, a senior citizen, older man. The meaning will come, general meaning is there. But the same word which is used for pastors, that elder, also used for another thing, that is for rank. It is used for office. For example, members of the great council, Sanhedrin, are called elders. Called elders. You know, Paul was one of them before his salvation. He was not old man. It shows that the elderly, it is not talking about aged person, it is talking about the office, it is talking about rank. Those who in the separate cities manage public affairs and administer justice are called elders. And those who are in charge of the church are also called elders. And elders are not different from bishops and overseers and pastors. You know, we were confused with that, right? Elders, bishops, or overseers, or pastors, or shepherds. Three titles refers to one person. When Paul said to appoint elder, he meant to appoint overseers, pastors as well. The one person has three different names based on three different works, based on three different character. For example, the proof is Acts chapter 20 verse 17. It says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, called to him the elder of the church. Verse 28, he says, beyond God for yourself and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God. The same word used, elder, overseer, at the same time, shepherd. It is talking about referring one person, one person. Elder is equal to overseer, and overseer is equal to pastor or shepherd. We know that elder refers to the spiritual maturity of person. Overseer, bishop, referred to administrator. The shepherd or pastor, it is talking about one who feeds the flock, one who treats the flock with the teaching of word. But most of the time we call pastor, pastor, right? Next time we should call Bishop Durga, Bishop Sammy Williams. Actually, bishop means pastor only. That is one of the office, administration, ruling the church and deciding events. So that is the idea of elder. He has to appoint. But if you look at Titus chapter 1 verse 5, the very example from Titus chapter 1 verse 5 says, he says, right, appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Look at verse 7. For the overseers must be above reproach. See, immediately he changed the word, overseer and elder. He is using simultaneously. The same person he is talking. But if you see, Titus has to appoint elders, plurality, in every city. He has to appoint elders, not in one church, but all churches in Crete. He has to appoint more than one elder in each church, in each city. Having elders in the church is a biblical pattern, more than one elder. This is not a biblical pattern that if anyone says that I have 100 churches, 150 churches, it is unbiblical. Unbiblical. Each church should have more than one elders. That is biblical pattern. Even that is commanded as I directed you. We will come to that point. But we have benefits, right? What was the benefit of having more than one elder in one church? I brought you three benefits of having more than one elders in the church. We were reading a book called Becoming a Biblical Elder. In that, he wrote about three benefits. The first benefit of having more than one elder in the church is, please listen, there is benefit. if you have more than one elder in the church. The unity with diversity. What he says is, a stringed instrument such as guitar can make beautiful voice, right? Beautiful music. Not because of every string is same, makes the same sound, but because each is diverse and it functions together with unity. Every string is different, they produce beautiful music. That's why it is showing that each elder is unique with different backgrounds, different gifts, experiences, and they are to function in harmony together. That's what he explains. It is very important to have more than one elder in the church. The second benefit of having more than one elder in the church is collective wisdom. Each elder brings the different perspective, discussion and decisions. It's like, no, one will say one thing about how to lead the church and counseling issues. And many things will come. Suddenly it will come. Like two people can give two ideas, two wisdoms. The third benefit is sharing the burden of ministry. You know, right? I was speaking with one of you saying that, Arey, I can't do syntax. It is so much hard to do syntax. Yes, it is very hard. I know that because I am doing that. So if it is hard, one person is doing Bible study, one person is preaching in chapel, for example, here, he will die after 2 years or 3 years he will die. So that's why, bearing the burden. So when one church has more than one elders, they can share the burden. By God's grace, our church has two elders and another elder also, three elders almost we have. So we can rotate, we can share our burdens. That is the reason why the Holy Spirit said, why God said, please have more than one elder in the church. So that is the precaution that he should take. He should take. For example, sharing the burden of ministry. Jethro wisely reminded Moses, right? In Exodus chapter 18, 17-8, the thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you. For the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. You cannot do alone. So when you plant a church, initially you are the pastor, but try to disciple another person, train another person, send another person to PTS, train him, then bring him back, have another one with you, so that that person can share the burden. Sometimes it is like, don't become a boss of your church, right? If you are one person, you think, this is my church. Somehow attitude will come. That should not come. Don't think that your idea is always good. So if someone says, if you plant the church, you have another elder with you. If he is saying something else, even though he says wrong, just listen. Then you tell why he is wrong. That's like, you need to think about. Sometimes the foolish man can give good decisions, right? So it's like taking decisions from men. Don't avoid those decisions. Don't burn yourself with over volume of work and share your burden with another co-worker. So have this commitment to have more than one elder in your church. The second precaution that he must take in this process, appointing according to apostolic command. Look at verse 5, appoint elders in every city as I directed you. The appointing elder is not the will of Titus, but the commandment of an apostle Paul. He has to appoint according to instructions of Paul, who is an apostle. The meaning of the word directed is to give detailed instruction as to what must be done. Or it has the idea command. It has the idea order. He commanded Titus how to appoint elders. He gave details. Even we can see right after this how he gives every details, the qualifications, how a older man must behave, how older woman must behave. Every detail he has given to him. Even appointing elders also. He commanded Titus to appoint elders. appointing according to apostle command. He gave detailed instruction which Titus has to do it when he was appointing. So, three marks of one, the one who fulfills ministry responsibility. First one is he is the proven disciple of Christ. The second one, he is being strengthened by the Godhead. The third mark of the one who fulfills ministry responsibility is he is the faithful, he is a faithful man in God's work. God uses this kind of man. If you are proven disciple of Christ, you are depending on God's strength. If you are faithful in your work, which was given to you, then God will give you to do the more ministry responsibility. If you are not fulfilling those things, He cannot allow you to do those ministries. Brothers, are you trustworthy man? Will your pastor trust you to give the responsibility? When he is going out, will he trust you to give that pulpit? Do you have that ability? Do you have that faithfulness in preaching the word? If your co-worker think that in future, just I am saying, in your future, if I go out, this person will take care of this church until I comes. So you must build that attitude. You must build that relationship. You must build that quality in your life. How Titus built in his life. History says that the most probably Titus went to Nicopolis. According to Titus 3:12, it says, when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. So he went there. Afterward, he went to Dalmatia, according to 2 Timothy 4:10. Eusebius, the historian, wrote that Titus returned to Crete to become its first bishop, and that he died there at an old age. So he came back after that, he served there as a bishop, as historian says. Then he died in his old age. Then he fulfilled his ministry. What was given to him through Paul by God? Brothers, you should be like that. You should be strengthened by God to fulfill your ministry, whatever ministry you are given by God through your co-worker in the church. God may help us. God may give us strength to have this quality of life in our ministry. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for making us your servant and calling us to serve you, to build your church. Thank you, Lord, for making as your instrument to build your church.